FYLP is sponsored by CapturedPrey.com. Visit CapturedPrey.com today for all your import and third-party Transformers needs, and save even more through the Captured Prey Loyalty Program. You can also save on shipping on domestic orders of $150 or more. See website for details. CapturedPrey.com. Great toys, great prices, great service.
In a cold, faraway world, a battle is raging between evil and good. From the stones.
Perceptia here. Welcome to Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure, TFYLP for short. Join us and discuss the latest in Transformers fandom. Now, where did I put that chorus stop?
Ratchet, will you take the chorus stop?
Transformers, defenders of truth, robots who fight.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to TFYLP, Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure, episode number 273, recorded January 20th, 2018. I am your host, Daron Land, a.k.a. Weird Wolf. Along with me this evening is Jim Black.
Hello.
Hello. Sounding good and loud tonight. That's a good thing.
That's an odd complaint.
That's not, no. Usually your audio level is like really low and nobody can hear.
I know.
Yes.
Usually you're like, what? Speak up. Check your mic.
Eh? like the what? RCA dog, what? You know, get the... Standing in front of the megaphone. Also with us is Headmaster Don.
Everybody.
And also joining us is somebody that has a little bit of knowledge about what we're going to be talking about tonight. Aaron Archer, welcome back to TFYLP.
Hey, how's it going?
Well, shall we say AKA Orson?
We can. We could say that.
That's a throwback to the old days, isn't it?
That's right. That's right. We're putting us right back in time.
Well, if you're tuning in to us tonight, you'll notice that we'll be talking a little bit about the Unicron trilogy, specifically Armada, Energon, and Cybertron. And those three are commonly referred to as the Unicron trilogy. We're going to be talking about standout toys and characters from those three particular lines. Jim's holding up Demolisher there. And we'll be talking a little bit about those, and I'm going to be monitoring the live chat. I know some people have commented on Twitter some of their favorites. We're going to mention some of those. Just talk about some really great toys that are kind of coming back around into their own. It's been, 15 years or so now? Has it been that long?
16.
Don't remind me.
Let's put it this way. They are now considered vintage toys.
They're old enough to drive themselves.
Yes, because if you think about it, Armada toys now are as old as Generation 1 toys were, or about as old as the Generation 1 toys were when Armada came out. And Aaron just slowly walks over his face.
within about 18 months, yeah, that's fairly accurate.
Yeah, I mean it's like the
time will do it.
The G1 reissues are now vintage. Wow,
Don's like, I don't understand.
His hairline was a little bit farther forward whenever this started.
I think my head was just actually smaller, so the hair looked like it was more forward at that point.
Did you still have a mustache at the time?
No, I'll be shaving this off.
Don's had a mustache since he was 12.
Don was probably the only Transformer fan back in the 80s that had a mustache whenever he was collecting them.
I could not grow a mustache until my late teens. I never, and this is about as heavy as it gets. All my hair's apparently used up, and this is all I have left.
Well, I'm right there with you, Don. I had peach fuzz.
Well, you know what they say, Daron, hair today, gone tomorrow.
Yeah.
So no more Magnum PI cosplay?
I could never do that.
No Tom Selleck.
That was beyond me.
But yeah, I'm right there with you, Don. Whenever I was in my early 20s, I had what was typically referred to as the porn stash. You know, it's just the little pencil thin mustache that and the beard wouldn't even grow in. And that was like I was like 26 and I was still trying to grow a beard and it wouldn't grow. And then I had some friends that was like 17, 18 years old. They looked like Grizzly Adams. I'm like, what's wrong with me?
Because I would love to have like a Riker beard, but it's like it'll never happen.
If you have the Riker beard, you have to sit like Riker too. You know, you like have to walk up to the back of the chair and throw your leg over it. Yeah. Have to Riker the chair. But yeah, whenever I was in my 20s, I had trouble growing facial hair too. But oddly enough, I had a mullet. I had a spiked mullet, and when I got my first job, my boss said, "You're going to have to cut that thing off." And I'm like, "But no, I've been growing this since I was like 10th grade, you know." And so I went ahead and cut it off, and I went to the extreme and went with a buzz cut. And I had a buzz cut up until I worked for Pepsi Cola, and then I just shaved it off. And I've been like that ever since.
And the good thing is, though, when Sergio starts shaving, we'll be able to walk him through everything, too.
Poor Sergio. Yeah, Sergio, I know you're probably listening to this or watching this later, and knowing that you could have been here tonight, you should have been here tonight. You knew about this a week ago, but no, you had a date with a girl. With a girl. You could have been talking about toys, man.
With Aaron Archer.
I was looking forward to it, Sergio.
Yes.
Sergio, you have disappointed Aaron Archer. For shame. For shame, sir. Good day.
Have a good day and good night. But, you know, let's move on to our topic of Transformers tonight. That's why we are here. This is Transformers for your listening pleasure. So we actually talk about toys and the cartoons and comics and whatever else comes to our mind related to the subject. So I was thinking earlier this week, you know, I don't know why, but here recently I've been kind of on a mini con kick. You know, I didn't have any more because I'd sold off, you know, all that era of my collection. And, you know, I love MicroMasters, and mini cons are like the modern day equivalent of MicroMasters. And I just got to looking around. I found a lot on eBay, and I actually picked up a lot of like 8 or 9 different figures, or the mini cons for like $10 plus shipping. And I'm like, this is great. And one of them was the Street Speed team, which is like my favorite. Those mini cons had like the best. I think that was the Street Speed team. It was the little race cars, the sports cars. I know one of them was called Oval.
Green, orange, and blue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love those guys.
Spiral, Oval, and Backtrack, I believe.
Yes, yeah. One of them had like had an odd transformation, but I always popped his arms off every time I tried to transform it. Yeah. But I liked it anyway. And then there's another one that was in it, Deep Dive, I think was the mini-con name. And I wanted it specifically because it reminds me of the GoBot Dive.
Dive Dive.
Oh, yeah.
That brings a question. There's also another one in the Requiem Blaster. It turns into a rocket. Was there ever a... did you ever go back and look at like GoBots for inspiration, or did it just happenstance that some of them had similar alt modes?
Well, there's only so many ways you can pull out the shape out of some of those forms, but I don't think we ever specifically did or didn't. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like we looked at all kinds of stuff that was out there. just like they came out with the kind of historic guides to all the G1 toys around that time, they did come out with a GoBots one, clearly not called GoBots, but Machine Robo Rescue or whatever they call it there. And that was definitely an eye opener and some cool stuff in there. That could have leaked in. Sure. Nothing intentional.
Because every time I see the deep dive, I think, like we said, dive. And then the rocket always reminded me of Apollo. I always thought that was really cool.
I mean, everybody that spends any time with me at a bigger Transformer convention knows that I only buy GoBots at Transformer conventions. I buy one GoBot every time I go. It's kind of my inside joke to myself, you know. So I do enjoy the GoBots. So I can't, not for any other reason than to make fun of them, but I do enjoy them for that reason. But yeah, no, he does. I'm looking at him here. He kind of does have that vibe. But how else were you going to break up a submarine for him? Mm-hmm. You know, it's gonna have a skinny little body and some big shoulders.
Yeah. But you know, what's that?
No, nothing.
But you know, it's just one of those things that you see, and you see homages, but they're not like you said, intentional homages. But they make you kind of think, you know, well, was there some kind of intent, you know, some kind of
sometimes there are. Sometimes there are, like the Energon basic Autobot kind of ray gun. It was like a blue with a big red circular disc kind of thing.
It was offshoot and signal flare.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
That is, you know, directly a Godzilla vehicle.
Oh, really?
Yeah, when you put that radar dish thing on the end of it, it's right out of Godzilla movies. If it was green, you know?
Never even noticed that.
We were just goofing around. I've been asked about that one a couple times at conventions over the years. That's definitely what we did. We were into that and, you know, did a slightly modification. Obviously, we can't ape it exactly, but that's definitely what it was. So, yeah, that stuff creeps in. People had favorite vehicles, or familiar vehicles, or somebody's grandfather flew a jet during the war. So let's do that jet, you know, that kind of thing. Yeah. Awesome. Star Wars people put their heads on their toys. Transformer people get to recreate people's automotive history.
Well, you know, you get the opportunity. I mean, why not? I mean,
yeah.
Either that or, you know, Transformers is one of those great brands that it's so diverse. You know, and I don't know if a lot of people seen the Toys That Made Us show. There was a comment made during the He-Man episode where they said Masters of the Universe was one of those brands where you could literally throw anything from virtually any genre in there and it would stick because of the way the universe worked with He-Man. You know, you could have robots in with barbarians and it worked because that's the way it is in Masters of the Universe. Transformers, in my opinion, is one of those brands that is very much like that. You know, it's like you could have, you know, animals with, you know, rocket ships and, you know, you can seek, you can find inspirations and alt modes in anything. For example, you know, Takara's even done this. You know, I mean, here is a what do you call this? A lollipop, or not a lollipop, but an ice cream cone. You know, it's the Gari Gari Coon. You know, you can literally make a transformer out of virtually anything.
I had no clue such a thing existed. I totally want one now.
Yeah, I actually got this for helping Orson at BotCon in St. Charles.
Nice.
Yes. Yeah, he got a bunch of those and gave one to each one of the people that helped him. But let's go on with toys. Don, you want to tell us about some of your highlights from Armada first?
Yeah, there's several figures I like. The two that stand out in my mind is one of them is sort of low-hanging fruit. Another one is a personal favorite. Unicron was my first one because, I mean, we finally got a real, honest to God, Unicron figure. It wasn't 86 movie accurate, of course, but it still was freaking Unicron. It was beautiful. The packaging was bold. The figure was great. The mini-con functions was, you know, with the launching missiles and everything. Although mine, like a lot of people's, had that hair trigger chest that sometimes would trigger just not even close to it, and it would just trigger on its own. Which was like... But I really enjoyed the figure. I liked the Energon repaint. I liked the repaint that was closer to movie colors. I never got a chance to pick that up due to the cost. I do hope we do get a new Unicron, and with him being teased in IDW, I think that's going to be a very high potential item later on down the road. But Unicron is definitely a touchstone figure for the Armada line.
Well, especially you've got a figure that's somewhere on the radar with the new Titan class that's been out for the last couple of years. Unicron is one of those that just screams Titan class toy.
I've just, you know, the Unicron toy is and it's just a great looking figure. It looks like Unicron, you know, he's just big and powerful and like, I'm going to eat your planet and you can't stop me. And that's what Unicron needs to be. The only thing that would make him better if he was a lamp. That's,
well, they've done that. It's only $5,000.
Yeah, for $5,000. The other figure, again, like I said, there's other Armada figures I like, but my favorite Armada figure, this guy right here, Jetfire.
Oh, yes.
now this is the Collector's
that's
Club.
That's the version. Repaint. Yeah.
Well, actually, this is the Collector's Club version, Mr. Archer, the Astro Train that came with the mini cons, and as you can tell, he comes with his.
Weapon that fell off
gun. With a busted gun.
But it's what I call his sub machine gun. But the Armada Jetfire mode is one of my favorites. It looks good in robot mode. It looks good as a pair of pants for Prime. It looks good in, you know, in jet mode. This is one of my favorites, and I think it's a phenomenal toy, and it's one of the best of the Armada line.
I don't get to talk about that guy ever, but I designed every bit of that guy.
Really?
Stayed up over the weekend trying to figure out how to design that shuttle to be something cool and different, and doing the etching on the inside of the bay doors with the map and everything.
Oh, yeah, that was – I remember opening up the figures like – they actually put all this stuff on the inside where you would never see it.
Yeah. Well, people forget, but I had like a year and a half to develop Armada, which is unusual for a toy line because of RID. It created a stopgap in the calendar. So I had a lot of time to develop product, innovation, all those mini-con kind of concepts with Takara, obviously. We had time to do all that and then had then time to put into little maps and things etched inside of doors. I really enjoy that guy. That guy was influenced a lot by the movie Armageddon space shuttle,
mm-hmm.
which is really funny to me because a couple years later, I'm sitting with Michael Bay in his studio with a giant model of that space shuttle, you know, sitting there and I'm just laughing going, yeah, I use that.
The only thing I wish you had done is you had named his mini-con Cowcatcher, because his mini-con was a landing gear.
Yeah,
and that just was the name that.
What was it called? Commodore, I think.
Commodore. Yeah. I think so.
Yeah.
Commodore. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd always wish.
One question about the Jetfire design, though, as you were going through the process, you know, with figuring out what the electronics would be in the gun, did you have any other ideas as far as ways to activate the sound as opposed to ultimately the tail fin?
You know, I don't think we did. That was largely a Takara innovation. They wanted to set it up right and have, if you have an early version of that item that has sound effects and voice, so if it counts down 3, 2, 1, that's a rare item.
Right.
That is an innovation that Hasbro does not own, and then we got called on that. You can't actually put voice and sound effects in a accessory for a product without paying this particular inventor. So it got changed somewhere along the line where it's just all sound effects. A lot of people don't realize that because it's not something
that never knew that. Out,
but yeah, later ones you won't hear the human voice to get around that invention.
Now, you can't have them in an accessory, can you? Actually, you can have them in
figure? Can have it in an accessory. Yeah, that's that guy's innovation, in an accessory held by the rope, held by the figure. Goes back to G.I. Joe or something.
But it becomes part of the figure.
Yeah.
Well, what if it's actually built into the figure? That makes it different, though, doesn't it?
We're getting into legal stuff.
Toy copyright semantics.
Yeah. But either way, if you have one that counts down, it's rare.
I just know that's one thing that's, in some instances, people have mentioned about. It's like, they'd be going through their garage and all of a sudden one of their totes would start beeping at them and counting down.
That one went off. It still goes off on me every time I moved my office. For years that thing would go off and you don't know where it is. It would just start count 3, 2, 1, jeez.
And then so as the batteries wind down,
I get shafted by the same stuff. Yeah, exactly.
As the batteries wind down, you hear it going 3, 2.
Yeah. There were a handful of toys when I moved that they were sound effecting the whole way across to Ohio.
It's a lot worse if the cat bumps something than in the middle of the night and you hear it.
Oh, that's scary.
Like the voice of some demon out in the darkness. No, it's just Jetfire.
The thing starts counting down. Thinking, is that my Jetfire, or is that someone watching Power Rangers in space?
It's the inventor looking for his royalties.
But a funny story about Armada Jetfire. I was so excited for that particular toy. I was watching the message boards. It was TFW 2005. I was watching the message boards, and someone in Lexington, Kentucky had spotted one in one of the Targets up there. And I'm like, ooh. And I just happened to be off that day, and I had nothing else more pressing to do. So I literally got up from the computer, got dressed, got in the car, and drove straight to Target. Which was at that time was about a 30-35 mile drive just to pick up Armada Jetfire and then turn around and drive back home. And I'm like, but I opened it before I even left the parking lot.
I think I can do you one better. I live 10 miles where KB Toys used to have their online distribution center, literally less than 10 miles away.
Mm-hmm.
They had Armada Unicron went up on a Wednesday or Thursday. First place online anywhere to have it. $49.99 and free shipping. So I ordered it. They used DHL. It went south 2 hours, north 2 hours, and then to my post office. And the post office wound up delivering it. It took a week for that Unicron to travel less than 10 miles. And I could never get a real person at the KB warehouse saying, if you look outside your door, you can see me waving. I'll come get the figure. And no one ever picked up the phone. So I literally had to wait a week for a toy to come less than 10 miles.
I'd have placed the order and then driven down there. Say, hey, here's the
They didn't
shot.
Have
here's
local pickup.
Local pickup, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, because I the website said no local pickup under the help section.
That's stupid.
Well, I think the furthest I ever drove for a single toy, and again, was an Armada toy, was Unicron. I've told this story several times on the show, but I found out, again, I believe it was through the message boards, that they were hitting local Walmarts. So I called local Walmarts. This was around 9 or 10 o'clock at night. And I was hitting each store as they were stocking. And there was a store in Winchester, Kentucky, that said that they had them. Uh-oh. Not receiving data. That's weird. Oh, now it's back. Hopefully we're still streaming. the stream stopped for some reason. I don't know why. Where was I? The store in Winchester said that they had them. I asked for the figures specifically. I said it'll be in a large box and everything, and it's a large toy. Yeah, we got it. So I drove. It was around midnight. I drove 40 miles over to town, and they did not have them. They said, "Oh, we thought you meant this toy," and it was nothing like what I had described. So I called another Walmart from that parking lot and went to another store, another 30 to 45 miles away from that, and they had them. So I wound up doing a round trip of well over 100 miles just to get an Armada Unicron at about 1 o'clock in the morning. I had to get it. I had to get it like then, right then.
And it was worth every mile.
Right? Yes, it was. Yes, it was.
I mean, come on. Who didn't have Vince DiCola playing in the background when they were opening the box?
Well, that's what was fun about that one, was that, you know, it was nice to get back to that character that we did not assume would ever get made. But Armada took off so well that it was like, we need something big, so that's what we pitched, and it just worked out. So we were lucky that it was that Armada, all those shows were on a Japanese 52-episode schedule, which meant you really needed a lot of up and down, and cycles to hit, which meant you could plan for really big events, like something like a Unicron. Most shows you wouldn't know.
There's not enough build-up or anything.
Yeah. Well, we'll do 13 episodes, and so you really just do the core cast and stuff. We were able to organically plan that show out really methodically with toy release and character release for both markets and how much, you know, air time and everything they got.
You know, it's also a testament to some character development. You know, I know Armada Starscream had some of the best character development and around that time. You know, he was, I'd say, arguably the most popular character, wouldn't you think, for the Armada toy line
for a while there? Yeah, he definitely had a following that was, yeah,
but
I mean, his character, I mean, some of these characters, when we remade them, you know, it's tough to, if you had to pinpoint something special about Jetfire, you know, there's a few things, but there's nothing overt other than the design, color, you know, name. I say all this respectfully. I'm sure I could get debated my ass off, but on these fronts, but someone like Starscream has such a defined role. You know, it's kind of like he's the Lancelot, you know, he's the second in command. That's going to always after the role, you know, and that's just always his thing. So designing his toys were easier and more fun in a way, because he was always that character.
Mm-hmm.
He did not deviate really.
So Jim, I know you held up, Demolisher a while ago. Is he, I take it, he's one of your favorites from that time frame?
Not necessarily one of my favorites. He just happened to be within arm's reach as I was sitting here trying to sort everything on the desk. I don't know how well the webcam's actually picking it up, but I've got quite a bit here. Like, you know, Energon Prime,
Energon, Hotshot and Inferno in pants and shirt mode, Armada Megatron, you know,
pants just and
various
shirt
ones
mode.
From the trilogy.
I love that.
As far as a favorite, and this is going to sound a little weird.
Everything
Armada
you say
Tidal
is
Wave.
Mm-hmm.
For several reasons. One, you know, you got the three separate ships in the Dark Fleet that are themselves their own standalone toys. Then they combine into, you know, the larger battle cruiser. But then I figured something that isn't an actual technical mode. Dude's got a claw mode.
I thought actually, that was a documented mode, actually.
Where are the claw? And I just always thought that was the coolest thing.
I could have swore that was a documented mode, though.
Yeah, it's not actually mode, but like the two panels that interlock to snap around Armada Megatron's arm.
Yeah, it does become armor.
Yeah, anchor your finger into that without getting your finger stuck.
Yeah,
and
I love that. Yeah, I love that character. I think he's Eric Siebenhaler designed that from the majority standpoint.
Uh-huh.
What stands out to me about that character, and I always like to point that out, this one out, is that very few Transformer robots that separate don't have individual robot modes. That's one of the very few three-parter that there's only one robot.
Yeah.
You know, there's not three robots that turn into a superbot. There's very few of those, if any, that do it like that. And you can't turn that ship into anything without putting them together. And
the Minicon storage too.
Yeah, all that. That's a lot of finger food, we used to say. One of the rare examples of a color that we had to change late in the game from the purple that you might have seen on the TV show to what the toy was. We needed more variety, and the purple was something that was requested to be changed, and that was one of the very few changes I had in that whole line from management, and it was a good change. It made sense.
Mm-hmm.
I've always kind of wondered, though, since Tidal Wave eventually ended up getting a repaint there in Energon, why the purple deco was never done, or even maybe in universe.
Purple's always a tough one for any boys toy back then. That was just kind of considered a on the edge kind of color. And if you could make if it was a villain, just make him, you know, more solid, darker blue, darker black, darker purple. But
Dark blue would be cool.
You know, Tidal Wave's one of my favorites as well. If you know, if I had to mention one of my favorites, he would be in the top five, and for a totally different reason. Yeah, the toy was really cool, but I played the Armada video game, and the Tidal Wave boss fight in that game was, in my opinion, even to this day, is one of my favorite boss fights of all time in a video game, just because of the way he was introduced, the way you fight him, and the way he was depicted in that. I mean, he's this giant ship, and then whenever he transforms, he's like this enormous Hulk, and you know, even Optimus Prime is like looking up at him. He's almost like Metroplex size in the game, you know. And he's just amazing. And I have a soft spot in my heart for Tidal Wave simply from the video game.
Yeah.
It's one of those cross-marketing things that worked for me, I guess.
Yeah, they did a good job.
Don, what you have one from Energon that you might want to mention.
Yes, I've got two, as a matter of fact. Energon, Omega Supreme, and Omega Sentinel. It was great getting Omega Supreme back in the line, and both of them look really good in both those colors. I love the battleship half because it reminds me of the Yamato and the Argo from Star Blazers. So I'm not sure if that was actually or just a generic battleship-looking motif, but that's part of the reason I love it. It's just because it's so like flying battleship, which I love.
That one's awesome that way.
Yeah, the flying crane thing is a little odd, but that's like a train, so I can understand
the crane. Yeah, the crane train.
Train.
From someone who likes Astro Train.
Astro Train.
And also being a Headmaster fan, there was also the added Headmastery gimmick. Yes.
It was. I wish it was kind of explained more in the cartoon as to what it actually was supposed to be, because it was just kind of there as a visual Easter egg, but it was still nice to have. And
it's a very robust toy. Like, you can articulate that thing and rotate it around and pose it a little bit. It's a solid thing. Like,
I mean, I would hate to see that price and that toy in today's dollars. I would hate to see what that toy would cost as a Supreme class toy. That would be just at least probably Dragonstorm price, $79.99 at least.
I always got a kick out of the fact that it had a hidden face once you remove the Headmaster.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, because you could pull up the little peg thing.
Uh huh.
Yeah.
And I thought that was pretty cool. I will admit, I never used the Optimus Prime configuration with him because it looked just kind of weird. But I mean, I understand the play pattern about, you know, giving Optimus this gigantic armor, but it's basically just him sandwiched in between these big, you know, it's just weird. Yeah. But it was part of the play pattern.
It's kind
of
like
that toy was designed by Eric too. I didn't say that about this one too. He's going to be all over these.
But yeah, and then my other figure, and this sort of a caveat, I hate the way Energon Megatron looks. The white is blah. It's a very blah looking toy. Energon Galvatron, however, is absolutely phenomenal. It shows it shows what the right colors on a mold can do.
It pops.
For pop.
So purple does work.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, I sold my Megatron because it was just, I mean, and nothing personal, Mr. Archer. It was just kind of a blah-looking figure. It was white.
I agree with that. I see what you're saying.
But when you look at the Galvatron with the purple, and then you've got the yellow energy, the translucent yellow, and it just looks like...
It looks like a Power Ranger toy to me.
Well, but it popped. I mean, it literally.
No, I hear you. That first colorway isn't very good. I'll admit. You know, I'll admit that it's not a good villain color. Like, maybe if the blue was black or something. I don't know what I was doing there, because I definitely did the colors for that.
You were probably trying to go for the white, the whole without going for like a silver on that. I mean, it looked.
Well, in our mind, it was a transition because this is goofy and no one ever followed through on this. So it's like just talk. But we probably were like, well, and at the end of Armada, he's Galvatron. So when he goes back to Megatron, he's got to be a little more white because he turned white, you know, or something. We probably had some goofy thing in our head that made no sense, but at the time made sense. But I agree with you, Don.
You know,
color is way better.
We totally went on to Energon without mentioning another favorite of mine from Armada. And whenever you mentioned Energon version of him, it made me think Armada Megatron. Absolutely dig that mold. That is, and it was one of the first releases, if I'm not mistaken, Armada. Yeah. Whenever it came out, it just had like all the bells and whistles. I mean, I wish it had a little more, I think, knee articulation, but just the overall toy had that badass look. Yeah. And then he had the goofy
antlers,
but you know they worked. They looked imposing on him.
I'm on the record clearly at many shows saying that's the favorite character I designed and probably the most not. You know, I'm proud of a lot of things that we did over the years, but, you know, when you're hands-on, you know, that one's probably one of my favorites. And I put antlers on all my Megatrons. If you go back to the Dragon Megatron in Beast Wars, you know, it had dragon antlers.
You did that one, too?
Yeah.
Oh, didn't know that.
I go way back. I did Transmetals 2. They weren't my products, but they were my images that they then took over and worked on, but I wasn't directly working with Takara at that time, although I had met them back at that time. So, yeah, when I transitioned to the product line, they actually had already known me from my work and all that. So that was another reason I got the job, so to speak.
Because one of the best things I like, the Megatron's not my favorite toy, but I love the Megazarek version that you did for BotCon. I love that color scheme on the Megazarek. Mm-hmm. But the thing about Megatron from Armada is when I was at BotCon and we had our goodie bags and we were watching the first episode, and then you get David Kay and you get Gary Chalk and they're back and they're doing their lines, and the room just erupted when you hear "Stand down, Megatron," and it's Gary freaking Chalk doing it, Optimus Prime, and then you got David Kay doing his man. It's like greatest thing ever. So that
time when Don geeked out,
away, we were just like, the whole room was just so, just because you got the voices with the characters, and just wow, that was one of the best moments, is when we first heard those two voices on the series. That was just so awesome. But yeah, the Megazarek is my favorite coloration of that Armada Megatron toy.
Yeah, that's the one I have displayed in my office.
No,
Armada Megatron was iconic enough to have even gotten an update out of nowhere over a decade later, you know, in Combiner Wars.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is kind of weird. I mean, it works, but it's like, you just weren't expecting, like, here's your IDW Tank Megatron. Here's our Armada Megatron. In the same case wave. It's like,
what? Yeah, I think that release was a little bit. One killed the other because, you know, it's like you got two different Megatrons on the shelf at the same time from the same mold.
Yeah, everybody's going to go for the G1 Megatron unless you're like Sergio's age, and when this was their G1, so mm-hmm. they'd probably be more inclined to get Armada Megatron.
Well, I think it would have made a lot more sense if they had split up the releases and maybe made it at either like a full case of G1 style Megatron, and then, you know, maybe a wave or two later have either a full case or have a Armada Megatron mixed in with a case of
They're still doing that to a degree, Duran, because Rodimus Unicronus has been found at retail in the United States.
Oh, really?
Which is the repaint of Rodimus Prime from Power of the Primes. So from what I understand, his repaint has already been found, and the toy itself, the first version, hasn't even hit all the stores yet. Wow. So it's like, huh.
I just cringe, you know, and I don't want to get too far off topic here, but I just cringe because I see already happening the exact same thing that's happened for so many years prior. The first wave of a new toy line is going to be very plentiful, but because they sell so well, and then later waves are going to be hard to find because stores restock with wave one. And everybody's already got wave one, and it pretty much killed the last night lines. You know, wave one was so overstocked. Wave two and three barely saw any release.
Yeah, I had to buy Crosshairs off eBay because I have not seen anything past wave two in the stores anywhere.
I saw Scorn and Nitro Zeus. And that is the only things past wave one that I've seen in store.
Well, the Walmart's got the PDQs with Steelbane, Drift, and Squeaks. So most Walmart's got those. But wave three with the Bumblebee and the Crosshairs, I have never seen that anywhere locally on this part of the East Coast.
Speaking of Steelbane, look closely at this and tell me that is not some kind of homage to Vector Prime.
Yes. Yeah.
Does that not look like Cybertron Vector Prime?
The silhouette. Yeah. The shoulder pads, everything. Yeah.
Yeah.
All of it. Which, you know, for intricacy of the deco, the design, Vector Prime from was it Cybertron he was in?
Yeah, Cybertron.
That was probably one of the most beautiful toys from that line.
I mean, what are you guys buttering me up here? What's going on?
Well, no, seriously, because I mean, it's like you could see the little gears on the inside. It's like when I remember the first time I slid that thing out of the package, I'm like, oh my gosh. I mean, just like the molded in detail was insane in that toy.
I mean, it was kind of like it was like getting a McFarlane toy, but you could actually play with it without it breaking.
Well, I mean, you just don't see that nowadays.
We went crazy with it. A friend of mine really did some really cool concept sketches that really set that guy off. We were looking at Swiss watch, you know, mechanics and all that stuff.
Well, now, with him being in like a white plastic, since there wasn't really paint involved, is that why you could have the extra details on the figure? Because it wouldn't have to be brought out with paint. It was just the natural plastic could do that.
No. Detail is not expensive. It only takes time. The more detail you have, the more time the model maker needs to make with it. They take with it. It doesn't cost you any more in molding as long as you're pulling within the draft, you know, not creating a needed slide kind of thing, which adds costs. Mm-hmm. So, no. That amount of detail was only, you know, put on there for the sake of his character, this ancient character that, you know, has this role of time and space and opening up portals and all that stuff. So we felt like we needed something a little more dramatic. If we tried to do that level on every figure, it would just overwhelm everybody.
Yeah.
Really.
Well, you just don't see it a whole... go ahead, Jim.
Okay, I was just going to say, you know, Vector Prime, out of the whole Cybertron line, which itself was phenomenal, Vector Prime is probably among my top three favorite from that series. It gives you like the most from the least amount of transformation. Because, I mean, if you look at it, he hides his face and folds his feet behind him. But it works so well. I mean, I love it.
Well, you just don't see that level of detail in a lot of toys today. Although Titan Returns Trypticon, the molded in detail in that toy is insane too. I mean, it's just the amount of love that went into that figure, you know, and attention to detail. You know, where you have some toys that are literally lots of flat surfaces, very very low or not overly overdone. I don't think overdone is the proper word, but you know what I mean. Intricate detail molded into the toy. But then you get to like Titan Returns Trypticon. He's one that comes to mind. It's got a lot of molded in detail. And whenever I opened up my the toy, that was one of the first things that came to my mind was Cybertron Vector Prime. Just the level. I mean, you hold the toy, you can feel the details. You know, it's not just like flat plastic. And that was one of those things that was unique and very much appreciated in the line.
I was really, I mean, the big part of what I really started to get into was the storyline, too, and the idea of these missing 13, you know, at the time it was still loose as to what that meant. So I took it seriously that we were creating a canonized version of one of those guys that didn't exist yet. So that was another factor as to why we might have overthought and over-detailed that character. We thought it significant that we were adding a member of the 13.
Well, it worked.
The only thing that I kind of don't like is, and this is just personal preference, if something has a lot of detail, like Vector Prime, but in some cases, you really need paint to pull it out, and the paint budget isn't there. So you have all this wonderful detail, but you really can't see it unless you turn it a certain way and you look at it without like there being paint to pick out the details. But again, I know that's all on the budget and all that, Mr. Archer. I know that. It's just I love the sculpted details, but if there's no paint pulling it out, it's kind of sad.
But that no, I, yeah, no, it can look unfinished at times. Yeah, sure.
So
you're not going to take, and it's not personal to me, man. I didn't set the budget, so you know it is how it ends up, and you know how it goes.
I mean, you gave us so many great toys. I don't think I was like trying to nitpick them half to death. It's just,
yeah. And you know, I'm not a big fan of that brown on Vector Prime in the end either.
Really?
I think I was going for some sort of brown gold. Bronze thing, and yeah, it just didn't look very good. Sorry, Don, I cut you off.
Yeah, oh no, that's fine. Now the Alpha Trion version, the BotCon version of that for Alpha Trion, oh, it's gorgeous. I love that Alpha Trion looks.
Yeah. And I always like doing the guys with beards and old men and stuff, you know? So he had a cool look because of that, too.
Robo beard. You know, that was something, you know, but even back in Generation 1, you see it in the cartoons, and you're like, why does a robot have a beard?
don't question it. Don't think about it too much.
Yeah.
The more you put thought into that, you're only going to start unraveling things that you don't want to unravel.
Yeah, but I mean, it's like if you have a toy of it though, and they omit the beard or omit the mustache, you're like, he looks naked. Put it back on.
More importantly, why don't more robots have beards?
Yeah. What are the conditions that they want or don't want beards? Or more importantly, stashes.
Well, it's like the Shattered Glass Rodimus or the Rodimus Unicronus has got the mustache with the soul patch. You know, it's like he got to look. Whenever I see him, and how many people out there that's watching or listening have thought the same thing? Garth from Knight Rider. You know, he had that evil soul patch going on. Every time I see him, that's what I think. I think of Garth from Knight Rider.
It took me a second when you said Garth, I was thinking Wayne's World. I'm like, what?
No.
Yeah. It took me a second.
That's funny.
I don't care who you are. That's funny right there.
We need a Transformer whose Mini-Con or Titan Master becomes its beard.
Beard Masters.
Yes. Best line ever.
Give them time.
Beard Master Transformers. They've got the power to distinguish.
Okay.
So let's, you know, we've covered some figures from each line. Let's just pick some other ones that really stand out to us individually. Aaron, is there a particular one from all three series that, besides Megatron, obviously, that really stands out to you?
I got so many. For me, it was always, and I don't know where Eric fell on this, but for me, it was always fun to do new forms or forms that hadn't been around much. So I'm going to rattle off three of them or four of them here. We did the Sharkticon, the Nemesis, we did the Snowcat, you know, so we were doing crazy sci-fi things. We did that Unicron Deluxe spider tank thing, you know, with the Mini-Cons, we did some of the space stations and, you know, very unique forms that just, you don't get a lot, you know, you make a lot of cool sports cars and jets, but you don't always get to make a submarine. So I just think fondly of those. They're not the best toys in every case or necessarily remembered, but any chance that we got, I really enjoyed doing the Snowcat and the Sharkticon and stuff like that. I don't know where you guys felt.
Sharkticon. Oh, Slugslinger. That thing was a nightmare to transform, but visually awesome in both modes.
I like the goofy ones, you know.
But I have to say, the Snowcat that was recolored for KB, he had no paint. He was like a Halloween. He was black and orange.
It's like okay, guys, what's the budget for the Snowcat repaint for KB? Somebody speaks up, $5. $5.
Yeah. So that's.
But like, I love that vehicle in G.I. Joe as a kid.
Yeah.
And so I was like, well, I'm just going to make it a Decepticon, and you know, and that's that.
I know you've been asked this a lot. Is there any, but I'm going to ask it again. Is there any particular reason why we have never seen any true Transformer versus G.I. Joe crossovers? Even though they're owned by the same company, we've never really seen any true crossovers. Like multi-packs, you know, like a... Starscream and a Cobra Commander or something other. It seems like a no-brainer.
You see it at the Comic-Con exclusives, and the mentality that they have is they want them to be in scale. That's some people there in management that's the kind of belief system. And so then you get into tooling and what tooling do we have? Well, we don't have, you know, small G.I. Joes. We got 3¾ G.I. Joes. Well, what Transformers work with that and all that kind of jazz. So, you know, it just hasn't, it's, believe me, man, it's been pitched over and over different ways over the years. But it's also kind of split in two pieces of the pie. Hasbro makes all its G.I. Joe money, and it makes a portion of the Transformers money. You put them together, it'll make a portion of that pie because it'll still have to work with Takara. You know, so it kind of cuts your winnings in a way also. That's not a reason not to do it. Don't get me wrong.
It really came to my mind whenever the Human Alliance stuff came out. You know, I'm like, it was like right there. You know, there could have been some things that were made that could have been either slightly retooled or just even redecoed into a G.I. Joe versus Transformers crossover, in my opinion.
Yeah, we pitched different things. We pitched like a vehicle sideways from Armada. You know, it fits a 3¾ figure fairly well. We pitched that, you know, in a green, in a military color and stuff with some other guys and over the years. And just
either that or make it orange and put out like a Marissa Fairborn that goes with it, and her and Retgar. Yeah.
There
you go. Or Afterburn.
You know what's not really computing in my brain at the moment?
Most things, Jim.
He said that they want Transformers to be in scale.
Yeah.
Think about that one for a second. Take all the time you need.
To the G.I. Joes, yeah.
Yeah, when I was growing up, we didn't scale. We didn't have scale, and we liked it that way.
Right.
Scale's tricky. I mean, you almost can't do it.
Yeah. Even with that the famous G1 scale chart that we've all seen that shows everybody in relation to everybody else, it's like this is a good suggestion, but it usually doesn't get followed to the. So it's like you still have these. Like, you know, Broadside being that much bigger than Devastator and so forth.
Poor Bruticus.
Yeah. You know, Talus76 on the live chat brought up another point. I loved how Armada also introduced us to the Nemesis Prime character for the first time. Just vicious and a great figure. The Bendy Prime.
Bendy Prime.
Yeah, like officially as part of our canon. Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, we like Scourge from R.I.D. and we said let's do that again. Yep. Bendy Prime. I love that you guys call it that. That's funny.
Well, I mean, you know, he had great articulation. You could do practically any pose you want.
No, I mean, well, again, speaking to scale, purely if you're going on scale. Then you're saying your biggest, coolest characters, usually your leaders, have to be at a higher price point artificially because that item would be the bigger item. And that's what was going on back then. Optimus was always, you know, Primal or whatever prior was always this higher price point often. And we had to get back to a smaller price point in the mix. And that deluxe price point Optimus, man, we really did a lot with that guy.
Well, I mean, it took all the things that was great about the cab from the Super Base Optimus Prime, yeah. And put it into a deluxe. You know, and I've said before, you know, the Super Base Optimus Prime, I love the cab. It's just that the trailer, the concept for the trailer was good. The execution was poor. Because I remember I was so excited for it whenever I first got it, but it just didn't work very well, especially on carpet. And the first time I ever tried it was on carpet, and it half transformed, and it disappointed me. But I was so enthralled by the cab and a small robot, it was beautiful. And then whenever you came out with the even more slightly more articulated, smaller deluxe version, it was like the lights from heaven came down on this toy.
I haven't been fortunate really enough to this to happen too many times with my products, but I do know that toy, we burned the tools out for that toy. Like, it had to be refurbished from so much manufacturing, which takes a lot to do. You don't, the toy line, the toys are usually long, you know, they would have to be used a lot longer, you know, for them ever to be wore down. So guy was in constant production for a while, exclusives and all that.
Yeah. Rick told us that the classic Seeker mold, was completely remade. It was used so much.
Mm. Yeah. I don't know about that one, but yeah. That a lot of that would happen. Yeah, there's a life cycle of that stuff.
I always kind of wonder that Bendy Prime, what the Super Mode Prime would have been like in that scale compared to like the Megatron and the Tidal Wave together.
Hmm.
You know, I'm surprised. You know, with the Generations line, you know, we got Armada Starscream, and we got what else did we get?
Universe Hotshot.
Yeah, Universe Hotshot, but that was like in the older generations. I'm surprised we didn't get more revisits from the Unicron trilogy in those lines.
They wanted to get around, and they wanted to try the different play patterns too.
Go ahead.
No, I'm just going to say, it also could have been, now again, maybe I'm just pulling things out of my ears here, but with IDW being as popular as it is, maybe if they hadn't been doing IDW characters, they would have looked at doing these Armada, Energon, Cybertron figures. But with IDW getting so popular, they could get those characters into the mix as well.
Yeah. You guys got to be honest. I mean, no one's calling for... You know, it's always more marketable to do something that is in print currently and, you know, drawn sexy like what IDW does versus going, hey, there was this thing we did 10 years ago. Maybe we should do something like it again. You know, so, yeah, it's an easier sell to management when you have a comic book that's right now. Like, look how cool this guy is. Can we make him? Go. It's just easier selling for sure. So.
Well,
And then you pick them on vehicle type, too. So they may have needed a truck type, and there just wasn't a good truck, you know, in that era, and they went to cup or something, you know, who knows, but that's the kind of decision they get made.
One of the big things about like the Unicron trilogy is that for all the great points, you know, there were some of the things, some figures that had potential to be great, absolutely great, that were hindered by the gimmick. You know, for example, Armada Hotshot had no head or neck articulation because of the gimmick. It had to be worked in. And now with today's engineering, kind of makes you wonder if they could revisit toys like that. And it's like, okay, it had the potential to be great. Let's just take that gimmick out and make that character again, but without the gimmick. You know, without the flip up cannon. You know.
Well, they remade Hotshot.
And he did. Did he not have? He didn't have a.
It wasn't. He came. He had a cannon, but it wasn't flip out. You know, like that one.
Yeah.
In our Armada. Yeah, well, yeah. But he definitely had a cooler form. You know, his silhouette was more accurate. than the Armada product for sure.
Yeah. And Jim actually held up another one there, which was, what was that, Energon Ironhide you held up there?
Energon Ironhide.
You know,
one of my favorites from the line.
Great toy. It's just that his entire head was visible even in vehicle mode. It's like, couldn't there have been a hatch just put over that, you know?
Ignore me.
Yeah, ignore me.
especially how they did that show where they scanned the toys, so it was like really obvious.
Yeah.
Well, Darn, I've got two from Cybertron that I haven't brought up yet. The second best non masterpiece Optimus Prime, Galaxy Force Optimus.
Yes. You know,
the second best mass released Optimus that's not a masterpiece. So we all know what the first best Optimus Prime was. And that's from Robots in Disguise. But yeah, I like the Optimus Prime. He was a big, beefy truck. The armor mode looked good. The small robot mode was impressive. It's just a very huge, solid-looking figure. And it's probably my second favorite Prime. That's not a masterpiece because you can't count masterpiece against the regular line stuff. It's kind of not fair. And then my other favorite Cybertron, Downshift. A 70s muscle car in the green and the black with the textured hood.
Yes.
With the big shoulders. That's not just a great looking car. And I'm not a car person, but I would love to have that car. It was a great looking robot mold. You had the whole Wheeljack kind of motif going on. Plus, we got Big Daddy for the Walmart line out of that. So yeah, that's one of my favorite figures is Cybertron Downshift.
One of my favorite Transformer names.
Yeah,
that's funny. Yeah, we got a lot of crap from that car actually.
Really?
Well, if you're a true car enthusiast, I guess, and I am not. If you look at it from the side, I think it looks like one particular famous era car. But if you look at it from the front, it's a different make and model, famous era car. So it's kind of like blending a Ford and a Chevy. And if you're a fan of either, you know, from a particular point of view, it's like, what the hell have you done here?
What is this abomination?
Yeah. But I don't know where our reference points came and all that. So
not getting sued.
Well, yeah, you know, that's why you mix and match all that stuff. But from a squinty point of view, from a vintage car collector, yeah, we kind of messed with their heads on that one.
Well, there's one thing I wanted to ask Mr. Archer. I don't know if you know anything about this or not. At the end of Cybertron, they went back and made new footage for the U.S. show to make it all.
Damn right we did.
What? What was that whole interaction like? When they found out they wanted brand new animation? I'm just curious, being a fly on the wall, what was that like?
Who found out?
Well,
Kara, the animation company.
Yeah. I don't know if you have any knowledge about them going, what they thought about going back and remaking animation for a show they had already finished.
Yeah, I didn't know where they were in production, so that aspect of the story is unknown to me. Other than we requested it from the beginning, and maybe they didn't take us seriously, and they had to deliver it in the end. So I could say it that way.
Okay.
But it was always our intention to end cap the bracket, the series. You know, these things went through a lot of translation, a lot of long ass meetings, a lot of anime people, and then there are toy people, and there are business people, and then there's Hasbro people. You know, it was always Hasbro's intention that these were linked series. Takara just didn't tell us that they wanted it that way, so we just didn't know. In Japan, it wasn't linked. So at the end, we're like, hey, where's our awesome footage where we bring back all our favorite characters from the other two series and, you know, end this thing? And they were like, oh, you know, they didn't really want to do that. But in the end, that's what we needed. And in our mind, we needed kind of goofy, but that's what we did.
Well, it was really nice to get that call because Cartoon Network kind of really screwed over Cybertron.
Well, 5:30 in the morning.
Well, see, that's now that's why I call it. It's now a verb. It was Cartoon Networked. Is what I call it nowadays when a show is badly treated.
It wasn't the strongest. It wasn't the strongest show when they had other things going on. So I don't blame them exactly, but it didn't make it easy to view it.
Exactly, but it was nice. But Cybertron was such a step up in from Energon. It was such a huge step up in quality and production value.
That was cool.
So that was that little bit at the end where you tie it all back through the other two shows, that I appreciated that personally.
Yeah, me and a guy named Steve Drucker, we really, you know, I don't know what we were thinking there, but we really thought it was needed in our minds to cap these things off. We had a lot of stuff going on with the Shout Factory DVDs at the time, and we thought, well, if they're ever going to gang these things up, you know, it would make sense and could have the bookend and all that. So I'm glad you appreciate it. You know, we did it.
I want to read a tweet here from one of our listeners. Tweeted a few hours ago what the topic was tonight. Pick one out here. At the TF Boy, Wayne Hernandez, he says, for Energon, it would have to be Energon Inferno, his favorite. He liked Energon Inferno. And for Cybertron, really liked to mess with Scattershot. Those were a couple favorites from at the TF Boy. Thank you for replying there.
Yeah. Scattershot was cool. We evolved him. You know, he had the little version, and then we grew him to the bigger version.
Cybertron Defense Red Alert or Red Alert.
Yeah.
That was Red Alert though. That did that.
To a few of them.
Which one was it that became Dark Side Megatron for BotCon? Was it Red Alert? The Cybertron Defense Red Alert? Was that what it was?
It was Cybertron Defense Red Alert.
Scattershot was pretty cool. Inferno, I really liked Inferno, the Energon Inferno that he mentioned. It was, you know, it had been a while since we'd gotten, outside of Cybertron Optimus Prime, obviously. But it had been a while, I guess, since RID Optimus Prime, since we'd gotten a good fire truck. Yeah.
Probably, yeah. Red Alert was more of an ambulance type. that is so much in Eric Siebenhaler design, it hurts. It hurts. awesome.
He nailed it.
He does the square guys, you know. He does the square guys really, really well. I do the pointy guys.
Now, going back to the pants.
His Redeco, Inferno's Redeco was really good, too.
Which one was that? The
Roadblock.
Yeah. Going back to the pants and shirt gimmick and everything, I want to ask this of our listeners. Now, if you want to tweet this while we're still live on the show or mention it in the live chat, we may mention it on here. But what was your favorite pants and shirt combination from the line? Don, do you have one?
Not really. I very rarely ever did it other than just to see what it looked like. And then I went up. I never saw a combination that I liked it. I guess maybe if I had to pick one, it'd be Optimus and Jetfire. When he's in his Jet Optimus, I guess is the best looking setup. The rest of them were, I'm sorry, Mr. Archer, they just didn't look good as pants and shirts. You know, I'm sorry, I really am. It's just they just did not do anything.
I think I've come to the grips. It wasn't just you, Don. It wasn't just you. But that was a line that dipped. I mean, a little bit at the beginning, after Armada, the package was black. That combo feature probably wasn't as cool as the mini cons. You know, you got less in the package. So yeah, that was a weird. That was a weird time.
Well, actually, I do have one. I do have one. I just thought of this: the Kmart exclusive repaint
Checkpoint and Prowl
of Rodimus and Prowl.
You stole mine.
Yeah.
I will say that. I will say that was the best looking combination of the two. So I will say that.
I have to say that. Oh, go ahead.
We got the concept out of looking at some of that Gal Gigar stuff that Takara had made, and we were really smitten with it. And they did some combos with Wave. It was a video game. The guy turned into a train. It wasn't a transformer. It was a whole separate line. Oh. A big purple train
that had a web diver.
Web diver, yeah, web diver. It had some combining play. And we were really enthused by what they were doing with that stuff, and we said, let's do that, and thought it would be cool to do the pants and shirts, because literally, if you bought every deluxe in two modes and then plus three decos, there are hundreds of thousands of combinations that you can put together of those things, which, if that was a successful play pattern, we'd still be doing that. Apparently no one did, so it was just a waste of time.
It's like a callback to Landcross and the Multiverse.
Yeah, a little bit.
Well, I like
But there was so much going on, it really wasn't even the primary focus, right? The Decepticons didn't do it. They didn't really do it enough in the show to make it worthwhile. So that was another thing that killed it. The show didn't really feature the gimmick as strongly as it they couldn't afford to do that much animation, right? So it couldn't display it in its full glory. So sometimes you plan better than you can execute.
You know, that Rodimus was actually one of my favorites from that line too. I remember the very first thing we ever saw from that. There was some artwork. The package art was actually shown, I believe, maybe at a BotCon or something, or it got leaked or something other. The package art, and I saw that, and I was super excited. And honestly, even though he didn't look a whole lot like Rodimus in his alt mode, that we all knew from Generation 1, he still was just a darn cool toy, you know, in both modes. And I really, really liked that Energon Rodimus.
It was nice to get the character back.
Yeah.
I always liked, trying to figure out the name, they were the Alter price point. There was like a construction off-road vehicle and a helicopter with the guns.
Bulkhead and Cliff Jumper.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or Beachcomber.
As play patterns go, well, Beachcomber's a different one. Yeah, I didn't like that.
That was a repaint of the Cliff Jumper.
But the that truck with the snowplow in the front of it, just kind of a cool form. Kind of a weird play pattern too, where you have that extra gear to put on. That stands out to me as a different type transformer that we did at the time.
That was one of the best ones though.
Yeah, Eric did both those solidly, totally. Again, Eric characters. He worked on a tank in the military, so all his guys have giant guns and they're tough.
The one thing I want to say, Mr. Archer, is you mentioned Brave a while ago, and Doran and I are big Brave fans. I asked this at one of the BotCons, because I was really hoping at one point you would have brought either some of the molds over to use in Transformers, or you would have made new toys based on these concepts. And it...
Dino Geistor.
Dino Geist. So, I mean, I'm just... And this is a tangent I know.
Yeah, but, I'll tell you.
Did y'all ever look at the Brave line and say, we could use this mold, we could use that mold?
They sent it all to us. We were still in Cincinnati. They sent every one of the police cars. They sent us the train that went on the, you know, I still have the Captain Shark, man.
Incidentally,
they had all of it, right? And they sent it, the Gal Gigar stuff, the green cement mixer, and all that stuff. And they sent it, and they're like, well, we're working with this TV station, and these are the things we're doing at the time. you know, to really kickstart back into the vehicle thing, right? And this is back in probably 2000, right? Late 2000.
So Galaxy would have just finished up.
And we were really looking at our ID going, okay, you have this stuff. Let's add some higher price points for us. And we were going to try to redeco that Gal Gigar stuff. And it was so tied up licensing rights with that TV network.
With Sunrise.
So that it could never be brought back together. So we just never had access to those things at that point forward. So really, that's what it was, Don. So all we could do was look at that stuff and go, how could we do something like that?
Right.
You know, that made me wonder something. You shared a picture, I believe it was on Instagram here recently, of your room. And I spotted the Captain Shark. And it made me think, the Energon Sharkticon, was there ever any attempt or intention to redeco that into Captain Shark? Or not necessarily call it Captain Shark, but redeco it into that.
Well, now I have one disappointment. I didn't take to do that. Why didn't I think of that? That would have been awesome.
I mean, it was right there.
No, I did not. I did not think of that, and I should have. Because I did Captain Shark, or I did Shark Con.
Because I remember...
Pointy guys were me, square guys were Eric.
I remember back in the day, whenever I'd first gotten Captain Shark was one of the very first Braves that I ever had ever even heard of, and the very first time that I saw Energon Sharkticon, I kind of wondered if there was ever any inclination or if we were ever going to get a redeco of that, and maybe not called Captain Shark, but had the Captain Shark deco, and it would have just been so awesome. And yeah, Don's getting ready to hold one up.
Yeah, I love that stuff. I was fond of bringing him out to my designers as an example of like bringing personality to, you know, some Transformer heads are very generic. They're just faces wearing goofy helmets, right? They're not really iconic.
Combiner heads are just swear, yeah.
Yeah, so Captain Shark, you know, I don't really, you know, I didn't watch those shows, but I definitely know the type of character he is just by the way he looks. So I always used to pull him out. Oh, man, I would love to have been able to do those kind of missiles, Don.
Just turn that thing and it just...
you lose all your... It's a classic Japanese trope. Lose your parts immediately so they can go up in value.
And they all go down the heat vent.
That's right. That's right.
And just for the audio listeners, I help want to help Captain Shark. He has firing 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 16, 17, 18. He has 18 firing missiles.
No bigger than a Tic Tac.
And I think the only other one that came close to that was the Dreadwind and Smoke Jumper Starscream and BP.
But what's great about this guy, though, is if you put that train on his shoulder as a giant cannon, you know, like that's I never got to do a gimmick like that. Like, so outrageous.
You know, Might Gain, the entire gimmick with Might Gain, where he was a train and then he had that the spaceship that he combined with and everything to make Great Might Gain. I always thought that would have been a great concept to bring to Transformers too. Like he could have made even the design of the head had a very Optimus Prime with a conductor helmet, conductor hat on, look to it. Yeah. You know, I could have seen that being the centerpiece of a Transformer line, with him being the Prime, you know, like, you know, Conductor Prime or whatever you could call him.
Yeah.
Rail Prime.
That stuff.
Trains are always tough. 18 missiles.
I guess that's probably why one of the biggest disappointments for me, I hate to say it, was for animated, was Jetstorm and Jetfire. Because when I found out we were getting our own versions of symmetrical Dockers, I was like, yes, we're finally getting it like they did for Gal Gigar. And it's like, this isn't quite what I was expecting. I mean, it looked good. But it was just like, and then a friend of mine said, Well, Don, when you add more than 2 points of articulation, things aren't going to be the same.
It's definitely tougher.
Well,
That was an example of, kind of getting off track there, but of just testing stuff out too, you know. Every once in a while, we had an outlier toy that we're like, well, let's see if we can make this work. You have to test it out. So might have been a sacrificial lamb to see what people thought of it.
Kind of like the animated Jetfire and Jetstorm with the symmetrical docking from Galgigar. Yeah.
Oh, can we?
Well, go ahead.
I don't know if you're, are you done?
No, go ahead.
Sideways. I like the Sideways Minicon because it's kind of goofy. I also like Dreadwing. From I think it was Energon, like a boat again.
Yeah,
goofy swarm.
Mirage. Energon Mirage was badass. The design on that head, like he had like a tuning fork on his forehead or something.
Yeah, I did that one. I enjoyed doing that one. That was like my last great overindulgence in toy design. So I wanted to call attention to that guy because he was fun.
It was fun.
And then we also did that, we did that War Within Starscream, which was kind of cool at the time. Yeah, you know, I don't think Don understood it, but whatever. Not you, Don. Different Don.
Oh,
Don.
Figueroa,
yeah. But you know, there's a lot of great toys. I mean, we could sit here for hours, and maybe we could, we'll do another episode, later this year, revisiting this topic. And that's one of the things with TFYLP. I know, over the years we've done so much with Generation One and going into this new year, for the podcast, I was trying to think of ways to reinvigorate and help continue to make this show grow. And, you know, with Transformers having such a rich and vast history, now 35 years plus, I want to revisit a lot of these toy lines, like the Unicron Trilogy, RID. I want to go back to those toy lines and talk about them a lot more than we have in the past. It will always be a very G1 podcast because most of us, that's what we grew up with. And that's what a lot of us that relate to. But I also understand that a lot of our viewers and listeners out there are of the Unicron Trilogy. That is your G1. RID, Beast Wars, that is your G1. And, I want to make a concerted effort to focus in more on those. And I thought this would be a good revisit to the Unicron Trilogy topic. I know we've talked about it before, but not as much. But a fun way to go back and look at the toys from those lines and look at some of the fun examples. I know someone on Twitter, see if I can find him real quick here. At Michael Metro asked, he was a collector of mostly G1 and now Generations figures, but wondering about any cool sculpts from that era that stands out and are worth picking up from the Unicron Trilogy. And that was in response to the tweet that I made a few hours ago on the TFYLP Twitter page. And I hope we've given you some toys to kind of search out. I think the Unicron Trilogy as a whole had some of the best Megatrons because you had the Armada Megatron. Not just because Aaron's here. Armada Megatron was good. Then, I would go with the Galvatron from Energon and then the Batmobile Megatron from Cybertron. Oh my God, that thing was, those are toys that you can go back to today and you're like, wow, why can't we still get toys like this? The chunkiness, the heftiness, they're just awesome.
What chunkiness? There's no chunkiness.
The what were they thinkingness?
Yes. Back in the day, every Transformer line, there's some criticism that comes from each toy line, especially, we talked about it last week, Beast Machines, how heavily criticized the television show was back in the day. But now, several years later, here we are more than a decade later, and we can look back on it fondly because we've had time to digest it. We grew up with it and can understand the concepts that was introduced in the television show, see where they were going with the toys, and appreciate that line now. And if you had said that 15, 20 years ago, whenever that toy line was out, a lot of people's like, man, this Beast Machines is crazy. Let's go back to cars and trucks. And I was one of them. I openly admit that. I liked Beast Machines. It was okay. But I longed for the day for the cars and the trucks to come back. And then along come RID and Armada and Energon and Cybertron. I was happy as all get out. And I was longing for the day for G1 to make a return. And I was satiated with the G1 reissues. And then we had the new toys with the Unicron trilogy. We've gone to the point now where we can look past some of the failures. Each line has failures, but I wanted this episode specifically to focus in on what was great about those lines. And we've talked about some really great stuff. Me personally, I've begun to go back and search out some of the mini-cons. I know some of the mini-cons are like insanely hard to get, especially if you get into the Micron Legend exclusives, and the Galaxy Force DVDs and exclusives and super rare stuff. There's people out there that have been collecting mini cons for years, and literally they don't have them all. It was a great the mini cons by themselves were great. If you couple them with, like Armada Jetfire and his Minicon Commodore, it just complemented an already great figure. And then you have the awesome names like Leader One, homaging, the GoBot from way back when.
Spark Plug,
a character name from Generation One that looked like Bumblebee in robot mode, but turned into a teeny little Lambo. Who couldn't love that? Corona Spark Plug, who was named after a Mexican beer. Corona Spark Plug. Named after a Mexican beer.
I never thought of it like that.
It all seemed smart at the time.
But, there's a lot of great toys there, and I hope that if you are going back and you're just getting back into collecting or just getting into Transformers and wanting to know more about the history of this great line, you can go back and get some of these toys that we've mentioned here on the show and check them out for yourself. I highly recommend them. I know lots of my paychecks went to these toy lines, and I had everything from all three of those lines, both loose and sealed, including store exclusives. So I was pretty hardcore.
Funny, I did too.
You also made a lot of money off of them. It's great to go back and look some of these lines. Armada Starscream, again, iconic. And back in the day, if you had said Armada Starscream to me becoming an iconic Transformer toy, I would have went, huh? Because I was in the mindset, Generation 1 was still the thing. But now we're getting into the time whenever those toy designs, you see them, and I have a fondness for them, like I did the Generation 1 toys. And I still have those. And it's like my fondness has grown beyond the 1980s now and enveloped these toys. And I look at Armada Starscream, and I have an appreciation for that toy now because it brings back some memories, not necessarily of childhood play patterns, but how cool that toy was and the innovations that it had. you know, the little wing that could come off and become a sword. That was neat. The posability of it, it was great. Do you guys have
admittedly, I wanted both wings to do that, but it was still pretty cool.
Yeah, could have had the dual swords and everything,
right.
Katana blades. Or you could have just took like one off of like Thundercracker or Skywarp, and then he would have had a mismatching wing set.
Could just buy two Starscreams. Call one of them Sunbow Starscream.
Sunbow Starscream. I don't get it.
Animation error. Have two Starscreams.
Oh. Autobot Soundwave. Yeah. You guys have any closing thoughts on the Unicron trilogy for tonight?
I think we pretty much covered everything.
Kind of a brief thought on that. How we were talking, you know, how, you know, X amount of time has passed since G1, and now X amount of time has passed since, you know, Beast Machines and Armada. It's pretty much an entire generation. Like, you know, like this year, Beast Machines is old enough to vote, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And it got me thinking, you know, and we've probably touched on this before, I'm almost sure, you know, classics and generations and so on, you know, we keep revisiting G1 over and over and over in various forms. And I'm wondering if it's only a matter of time before Generation starts making the transition to revisiting the Armada trilogy more prevalently than you know, just a sporadic figure every few odd years. You know, like you know, with the Prime Wars trilogy, you know, Combiner Wars, Titans Return, and now Power of the Primes, we're essentially getting kind of a another Renaissance G1. I mean, we're getting the headmaster gimmick. We're getting
G2 Renaissance mostly. Yeah.
Right. And yeah. I'm wondering, are we going to soon see, you know, Energon Ironhide again? Are we going to see, you know, Cybertron offshoot?
Well, you know,
some of these characters from, you know, the early to mid 2000s.
I think we've mentioned this whenever we were talking about the Masterpiece line before. Mm-hmm. I don't think Generation 1 will ever go away because those characters and those toy designs are the ones that really started it all. So we will always see some homage to them, whether it be a Masterpiece or mainline form. But I think that we will start to see more of the newer stuff. Like the Unicron trilogy, but I don't think G1 will ever go away. But in my opinion, if you ask my opinion, I think we will start to see more.
You'll see more of it. I'll just give you a glimpse into like where you guys are at with the G1 stuff. It's not unlike where the 12-inch Joe people were when they introduced 3¾-inch G.I. Joe. There's just a generation gap that there's that direction, and then there's this other direction.
Right.
And, you know, those us G1 people are old, and that stuff's been wrung dry, right? We redecos and reissues and homages and all of it. Now third party, you add that to it. Sometimes I wonder, yeah, there's going to be an end to the G1 love just because how much more can you keep
pump
going?
Out of it?
And new fans are going to keep coming and keep coming and keep coming. And eventually it's going to end up like the Joe community where it's just going to be maybe different factions, you know, just different mindsets.
Because if you look back on it, you know, 14 years ago, Energon, really that was like a pre-classics classics in a way.
Yeah. Yeah, you know,
and then we got the 2006 line, and then, you know, later on now we got Generations and Combiner Wars and all this, you know.
Yeah, there's a trajectory, but you know, you can only, you know, there's only so much juice in the fruit, right? So as we've done this Echo line, I guess since the classics in 07, you know, we've now gone through G1, Headmasters, the movie, G2, you know, there's going to be a point where there's just nothing left to do. Now they've done Trypticon and Metroplex and, you know, other things that we never thought
Fort
we'd
Max,
see.
Yeah.
Fort Max,
I'm just,
yeah.
I'm just holding out hope that we get a proper horrible before that happens.
You know, John Warden's there, so he's you know, he'll try to homage all of them as well as make great new stuff. You know, he'll want somebody to have a complete set. But that's what happens, right? There's something new that changes and something new.
You know, there's also something that can be said too about, you know, let's be honest. You know, Don is painfully aware of this, that we're all getting older. And, you know, eventually, you know, us G1ers, we're going to die off, you know, we're going to be old and decrepit, you know. And
hey, speak for yourself. I got
always ring issues
left to use.
he'll be sitting there and wondering how many Transformers he can hang off of his walker as he's walking up to the register. But
how many Transformers it takes to make a walker.
But you know, eventually we're going to get to the point where, you know, toys are not going to be as important to us anymore. And, you know, the younger generations are going to be first and foremost. And I have to say that, you know, whenever I see people like our own Sergio and Jack Bruner, if they're, you know, Sergio is a heavy collector of the Masterpiece line, which is very heavily G1, you know, and primarily G1. To see him excited about toys like that and knowing that he is the next generation, that makes me as a G1 fan happy that, and also proud in the fact that as G1 fans, we have kind of passed the torch on to the next generation where they can continue to carry the love for Generation 1 on. But
I think of it as they add to the pool. Yeah. You know, the pool just keeps getting bigger. And you know, new flavors or whatever, that's probably a bad analogy. But, everyone just keeps adding to this world.
Yeah, I mean, it's like the original Joe fans. I know there's some that never really latched on to Real American Hero and everything, but I'm sure there's some that did. You know, that's like, hey, G.I. Joe is going a different direction. The original Joes, the 12-inch Joes, are not going to go away. They'll always be here, but here's some new Joes. You know, it kind of makes me wonder, you know, is Hasbro going to bring back that line? It's sad that there's no Joes on the shelf right now. It's really sad. And that's a
whole different show.
Yeah. That's coming from a Transformer fan. I want to see G.I. Joe succeed because I don't want to see Transformers to ever get to that point. You know, because after G2, you know, but you know, it almost died. but I really, you know, I want to see, I guess from our standpoint, you know, as Transformer collectors, it's a sister fanhood. So I would like to see it succeed and see some new Joes come out with new cool designs and maybe new concepts. And who knows, maybe, you know, take a Transformers versus G.I. Joe thing and reinvigorate the line, you know. Give it a new concept. You know, here's new Joes, and maybe not necessarily have Transformers that we are aware that we know. Just like have all new Transformers. Like this is a new Optimus Prime with new Joes. You know, I don't know. Just ideas thrown out.
But you
there.
could tell the same story of the Wreckers embedded with an American, you know, a force of soldiers. You know, they're just doing a different situation.
Yeah,
okay. I'd buy it.
Yeah.
I'd buy that for a dollar.
Yeah,
but you know, we've talked about some great things tonight, and I really hope you guys have had some good insight and enjoyed the show. As always, if you enjoy what we do here on TFYLP, check us out on Patreon at patreon.com/TFYLP. Helps us keep the server bills paid, and if we need any upgrades like microphones and everything, helps us continue to do that. So the more people that does the Patreon, it helps us out and helps us continue because, quite frankly, doing a podcast is expensive. You know, don't Don't make any money per se off of it. It just it's a passion, a
labor of love.
Labor of love, a labor of passion, and it is very costly at times. And a lot of people don't realize that. I mean, I'm right now in the process of trying to scrounge to get together to get enough money to have a new PC built that is capable of doing the video processing and everything that I need to do. And that's going to be kind of pricey. So that's my next big personal thing related to the podcast that I'm going to be working on. And it's helped made possible through things like the Patreon. So if you love TFYLP and what we do here on this show, I encourage you and urge you to, even if it's just $5 a month, it helps us continue with this show. So TFYLP or patreon.com/TFYLP. We also have a Facebook group. You know, if you want to talk about this show or any other show or just Transformers in general, check us out on facebook.com/groups/TFYLP. And as always, on our Twitter account at TFYLP, you know, you can contact me directly and ask questions, comment about the show. And of course, any updates about TFYLP immediately goes up on Twitter. If I know anything, it's the first place I go to, quite honestly. Aaron, is there any places people could contact you via social media that you would like to share?
I use Archer Monster on, Aaron Archer Art and / Archer Monster at Facebook and my Instagram. I put up new stuff. You can find me, the handle Archer Monster, almost everywhere social media wise.
Awesome. I know.
And check out that documentary, The Toys That Made Us.
Yes, yes. He's quite prevalent on there. And thank you for the Jar Jar Binks.
Comments. I got some really sassy comments.
Yeah, totally worth binge watching.
Yes. I cannot wait for the Transformer episode. And it's what, March or May? Or April or May, I guess, when it comes out.
Yeah. And might I add, oh my God, that chair.
It's still getting so much attention.
So much
attention.
Finally saw that thing.
It's like, I mean, you're watching the show and you see listening to the woman. And then it's like I was watching and then my head just automatically went. I'm like, is that a naked woman?
People don't want to call what I do art, but that chair is sitting there. So there you go.
That's art. That's art. That's art. Aaron, as always, thank you so much for joining us again tonight. It's always a pleasure.
Really good talking to you guys. Absolutely. Don, good seeing you.
Thank you, man.
See you again too, sir.
Thank you, everybody. We'll see you next time on TFYLP. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Night.
This has been Transformers for your listening pleasure, a presentation of TFTalk.net. We'd like to thank you for listening and ask that you please rate us on your favorite podcast outlet and share us with your friends. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at TFYLP. Email us at podcast@TFYLP.com. This is Paul Lighting, and on behalf of TFYLP, we'd like to thank you again for listening, and we hope you'll join us next time for another TFYLP.